Morning. Today's daf in Zvachim is Kuf Beis. We are on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We are now going to move to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Let's backtrack. Let's get our bearings. The Gemara yesterday went into the 10th parak of Vayikra, Parsha Shmini, where Moshe and Aaron are engaged in a disagreement. Right? I think yesterday we ratcheted it up to disagreement. I think we went that far. It was the first day of the Hakamas HaMishkan. It was the first day of Nisan, second year in the Midbar. It was a very special day. It was a happy day and it was a sad day. It was a combination of both. So in the opening day of the Mishkan, much fanfare, a lot of special carbonates that are brought that day. It is the Miluim. And the special carbon hamiluim, the inaugurating carbonus were brought that day. The Torah in the beginning of Parsha Shmini goes through details in terms of what exactly the carbonos are for the miluim. One special carbon that's brought was the carbon chatas as one of the carbonos of the miluim. In addition to that, also each one of the nesim, the tribal leaders for the first 12 days of inauguration from the first day of Nisan to the 12th day of Nisan. Also brought special carbonus as well, being that this is day one. So this was a carbon of Nachshon ben Aminadav, and he brought a carbon of the Nesim. Of the carbonus that he brought, one of them was a carbon chatas. In addition to that, there was also Rosh Chodesh. It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so there was a carbon chatas brought on account of it being Rosh Chodesh. Every Rosh Chodesh should bring a carbon chatas. If you've been keeping score, so that means that there were three carbon chatases that were brought that day. Problem is that of the three carbon chatases that were brought that day, Aaron ate two of them and did not eat one of them. That part is clear in the Torah. This is the one part in the Torah which is the Torah is excessively clear about. If you look in Vayikra, Parsha Shmini, Perek Yud, Pasuk Tet Zayin, Ve'esir Chatas Darash Darash Moshe, Vihinei Sarof. Sorry, Sarof. So there was an investigation done regarding one of the carbonos, and of them, one of the carbon chatases was burnt. Burnt meaning not consumed. Meaning carbon chatas is eaten by the Kohanim. At the time, Kohanim were a total of Aaron. Now, it would have been Nadav and Avihu, but unfortunately they died that very day, which is obviously why the Gemara is discussing it in this context, but that means the surviving relatives were Onanim. So it was Aaron together with his two surviving sons, Elazar and Isamar. Vayiktzov al Elazar v'al Isamar b'nei Aaron and Isamar l'nei Mor. Now, Moshe is angry with Elazar and Isamar. So Moshe says to his nephews, and by virtue of that also his brother as well, you should have eaten the carbon, like that's what you're supposed to do. And Moshe says to Aaron and his two nephews, and this was a commandment that you were supposed to do it. And there's no reason why you shouldn't have eaten it. The blood of the carbon chatzos wasn't brought into the heichal, and nor was the blood taken out of the azara. The blood remained in the azara the whole time. So of course you should have eaten it. Now, in the Torah, Aaron does respond to Moshe. There is much ambiguity in what exactly Aaron is saying back to Moshe. He says something along the lines of, well, we see this happen to me. Now, what most probably he's referring to is the fact that his two sons died. And if I ate it today, would that be good? So we don't have perfect clarity in the psukim themselves what exactly Aaron was responding to Moshe. But whatever he said, Moshe heard it. So Moshe said, okay, you're right. Okay, and what we now started with in the discussion yesterday's daf was, what exactly did Aaron say back to Moshe in response? And how is it that sat well with Moshe? So if you remember the Gemara yesterday, so we had two basic school of thoughts. We had Rabbi Nechemia, and we had Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Now Rabbi Nechemia, the way he understood it, is that the entire issue over here was an issue of aninus. He was an onin. When I say he was an onin, I mean Aaron was an onin together with Nadav and Avihu. Elazar and Isamar. You are an onin when you lose one of your seven relatives, one of your seven immediate relatives. So Aaron lost his two sons; those are immediate relatives, and Elazar and Isamar lost their two brothers; that is immediate relatives. So that means that they are onanim. As onanim, we know the halacha is that you can't eat a carbon. An onin is not allowed to eat a carbon that day. So fine. And now as far as offering the carbon, so we also know, we learned it together back in the Mishnah, that a Kohen Gadol as an Oni can offer a carbon. So in fact, one of the dialogues, according to Rabbi Nechemia, was Moshe says to Aaron, did the boys bring it? Meaning, did Elazar and his summer bring the carbonos? In other words, they're not Kohen Gadol. So Aaron says, no, it was me. I brought it. And I'm allowed to. Fine. And as far as not eating it is concerned, so we're owning him, therefore we didn't eat it. So in other words, now, and we pointed this, and we made this point clearly yesterday. Well, if they didn't eat the chatas of Rosh Chodesh, so why in fact did they eat the chatas of the Nisim, meaning of Nachshon, and why did they eat the chatas of the Miluim? So as we learned yesterday, in other words, categorically, those are different kinds of carbon chatases. The Rosh Chodesh chatas is the chatas ledoros. It's generational chatas. So it follows the basic rules, the regular rules of who can and cannot eat it. As Aaron and Elazar and Isam are owning him, therefore they're not allowed to eat it, it's the chatas ledoros. Masha Enkin, however, on the other hand, when we are talking about the chatas of Nachshon and the chatas of the Miluim, these are chatas sha'a. They are brought specifically for that time, and they are not generational. As such, there was a special dispensation that was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even though Aaron, Elazar, Yisamar are owning him, they're allowed to eat it. Okay.
If their owning him and the right owning him is not going to extend to the night, why didn't they keep it?
The Gemara is going to ask that question.
Eat it at night.
The Gemara is going to ask that question. Okay. Good. All right. Okay, so far that was all a recap of what we saw yesterday, and we continue. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Hechem, and Tartzilahu. So we are on Kufal from an Aleph, we're towards the bottom of the Amud, about 2/3 of the way down. First word in the line is Veshachachti, and now we're up to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Hechem, and Tartzilahu, how do they understand the Pesukim? Now, as far as they're concerned, the issue over here, the overarching issue was not Aninus. The overarching issue over here was Tuma, which we're going to explain in just a moment. And what we're going to do, like we did yesterday, is we're basically going to go over the dialogue as found in the Torah, and the Gemara is going to provide narration in terms of how we are to understand the Pesukim in the Torah. Hachim etarzi lehu, this is how they explain it. Madu lo achaltam es chatas, b'makam ha-kodesh, shema nichnas dam lifnai v'lifnim. So this is going to sound very similar to what we learned yesterday. The beginning of the narration is going to be very similar. Moshe says to them, to Aaron and his two sons, was the blood brought inside the heichal? We all know that blood of a chatas brought into the heichal disqualifies a chatas. Amar lo, hein lo uvaz dama. And the answer is no, it did not. It didn't go into the heichal. Next. Shema chutza mechitzas ayatzas. Well, maybe the blood was taken outside of the Azar. If the blood is taken outside of the Azar before Zvikas Adam, so it's going to be disqualified. Therefore, the carbon is going to be disqualified. Maybe the blood was brought outside of the Azara. Amar lo, hein bekodesh haisa. And the response to that is no. The blood was in Kodesh, meaning it was in the Azara. Okay, so that wasn't a problem. V'dilma ba'anina zikrafti upasilte. Well, maybe it was offered, the carbon chatas were offered in a state of aninus, and that's why it's disqualified. Amala Moshe, heini krivua, depasabu aninus, anihi kraftiha. What do you think? Do you think they brought it, meaning my two sons, Elazar and Isamar, as they are not a Kohen Gadol, and they are certainly not allowed to offer it in a state of aninus. But they're not the ones who brought it. I'm the one who brought it. I'm a Kohen Gadol. I'm allowed to do so. So again, that's not a disqualification as well. V'dilma agav mireichu pashasubu v'it ma'ay. So Moshe says to Aaron, well, look, you became, in your understandable state of bitterness and sadness, so maybe you had a mental lapse, maybe you had a moment of weakness, which again is perfectly understandable, and maybe you became tamei, and maybe that's why you didn't eat the carbon chatas. Amar lo, just he came into contact with mace. In other words,
he touched
his son. Oh yeah. And to that now, so here we have narration in terms of what Aaron said back to Moshe. That's what you think of me? You think that I'm right now handling carbonos, and you think that I'm going to have a moment of weakness in which my attention is going to be taken away from the carbonos? My attention will not be taken away from the carbonos. V'afilu, eila, v'cha eila, einani mevasi kashe shemayim. If this were to happen to me, and even if it were to happen to me again, I still would not have taken away my attention from my task at hand, from the mission of the Karbanos. To which now Moshe says to Aaron, so now I'm honestly confused. There is simply no reason why you shouldn't have eaten the Karbanos, and the question is now very simple. Why didn't you eat all the Karbanos? So, and you know that you were given a special dispensation, meaning of course you're an Onin. And of course, an onen is not allowed to eat karbanos. Even Kohen Gadol onen is not allowed to eat karbanos. But you were given a special dispensation. I instructed you based on instructions that were given to me by Kadosh Baruch Hu that you were allowed to eat the karbanos in the state of aninus. How come you didn't eat it in the state of aninus? Amar lo shem lo shamata ela balayla. So now Aaron says back to Moshe, perhaps the dispensation that was given to us was that we're allowed to eat it this evening. D'i bayom kavachomer me'maisar kal. Meaning, well, there's no way that we would be allowed to eat it during the daytime. We're in a state of aninus. And let's remind each other, we did this yesterday. An onin's not allowed to eat maisar sheni. Maisar sheni has the least amount of kedusha. Of those things that are kodesh, maisar sheni is lowest on the totem pole. Obviously, karban chatos is one of the highest things on a totem pole. So if an onin can't eat maaser sheni, it goes without saying, as a kavachomer, as the most basic kavachomer, that a onin can't eat maaser sheni, an onin can't eat a karban chatos. Maybe, Aaron says to Moshe, your allowance that was given to us by a Kadosh Baruch Hu is only an allowance that we can eat it this evening, perhaps. I should have read this already. Umam Meister Akal Amar Torah Lo Achalti Ba'onim Mimenu Kodesh Chamor Lo Kol Shekein. So if Meister Sheni were not allowed to eat in the state of Aninus, how much more so Karban Chatas, which is Kodesh? Miyad Vayishma Moshe Vayitav Be'inav. And so Moshe hears this. We are now on the top of Kafav Mibes. Moshe hears this, and the matter is good in his eyes. Lo Bosh Moshe Lomar. Lo shamati, and Moshe was not embarrassed, meaning what he could have just simply done is whitewashed it and said, you know what, I didn't hear that, maybe you're right, but he didn't say that. In other words, he did a full mea culpa. El shamati v'shachachti. No, you're right, you're absolutely right, Moshe says to Aaron. In fact, that's exactly how I heard it, that you were given an allowance, and the allowance was only at night, and I made a mistake, and I said during the day, and I was totally wrong. El shamati v'shachachti. Ibailu l'shuyu v'limich lebe'orta. So I'm sorry. Already, that's the next point already. So in other words, we had this part of the narration we had also yesterday as well. According to Rabbi Nechemia, this part also Moshe did a full mea culpa, a full admission of I was wrong, even though he said it in the most embarrassing way as possible. But okay, that's Moshe was able to get over the personal slight, the personal embarrassment of having to admit that he was in the wrong. Okay, fine. So now, let's put everything together. So, Aaron and his sons cannot eat the karbanos today because they're in a state of aninus. And even though they were given a special dispensation, that special dispensation only was for the evening. Wait until this evening. The karban chatzos, we know, can be eaten for one day and the following night. So for the one day, they're an onin, they can't eat it. So, but that night, they were given a dispensation to eat it. And so now, we're just simply going to reset the question. So if that's true, so why didn't they wait until the evening and eat it? And we know they didn't do that because the Torah says that they burn. What are the karban chatos? So what are we going to say about that? So that's the Gemara's next question. So ibai le l'shuyo l'michle ba'urta. So they should have waited and eaten at night. So the Gemara's answer is tuma bonus basa. So the Gemara says for that, the reason why they didn't eat it is because tuma occurred to the karban. Now what tuma exactly? So unclear, meaning, but it was ba'onis.
To the carbon, not to them.
Right, to the carbon. So in other words, circumstances happened that was beyond their control that tumah occurred to the carbon, and that's why they couldn't eat it. They were, in fact, waiting until the evening to eat it, but tumah ba'onis basa, tumah came. Okay, and that now brings us to the end of the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in terms of how to understand the narration in the Torah. And so basically what we have over here is, why didn't Aaron, Elazar, and Isamar eat that one carbon? So we have two schools of thought. Our first school of thought, which we went over yesterday, was the Shita of Reb Nechemia. It had to do with the fact that they were nonin. And the second school of thought of Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, it has to do with the fact that the carbon was in a state of tumah. They were waiting until the evening to eat it, but because they were in a state of tumah, therefore they didn't eat it.
So why would Aaron say that?
Just one second. The Gemara is going to do a lot of follow-up questions. So let's go through the Gemara, and then afterwards, if there are any more follow-up questions, you can certainly ask me. But Bishlam al-Rabbanan Hainu Dichsev Hayom. So now let's go. Let's go back and forth now over the shittos of the Chachamim and Reb Nechemia. And when we say the Chachamim, we mean Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. But because there are two of them, the Gemara is going to always refer to them as Rabbanan. So Bishlam al-Rabbanan Hainu Dichsev Hayom. So according to the Chachamim, so you understand in the context in the Pasuk what is meant by the word Hayom. Hayom means today, meaning we can't eat it today. We're an Onain. We can't eat it today. We'll wait till tonight, but we can't eat it today. That works out very good according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Ela l'Reb Nechemia ma hayom. So the Gemara says, but according to Rabbi Nechemia, what does Hayom mean? Meaning, according to Rabbi Nechemia, the dispensation to eat them was even during today. In other words, there was a heter that was given for them to eat it today. So what is the word Hayom mean according to Rabbi Nechemia? So the Gemara says, Chovas Hayom. So the Gemara says, the word Hayom means Chovas Hayom, meaning, like we learned yesterday, that according to Rabbi Nechemia, the dispensation for them to eat it in a state of aninus was only for the karbanos that were for today. Meaning generational karban chatas is like the Rosh Chodesh chatas, that there was no dispensation, that they were not allowed to eat at all. Only the karbanos that were chovas hayom, because specifically of today, the chatas of the miluim, the chatas of Nachshon, so those karbanos were the ones that they were allowed to eat today. Good. Next. So according to Rabbi Nechemia, so the pasuk of Hein Ayom is understood very well. But according to the Chachamim, what does it mean, Hein Hayom? Meaning, according to the Chachamim, their allowance to eat was not even during the daytime. Their allowance to eat was only at night. So what does it mean, Hein Hayom? Hachikamer. Hein Ikrivu, Ani Hikrafti. So the hain is not going on the karbanos. The hain is going on who is offering the karbanos. The hain is going on his sons. Meaning the hain, it's a pronoun. They is not a reference to the karbanos. They is a reference to his sons. And what Aaron was saying back to Moshe is, you think they offer the karban, which they're not allowed to do because they're an onin and they're not a kohen gadol? They didn't offer the karban. It was me, the kohen gadol, who offered the karban. That's how the chachamim are going to understand the word hain. Amar. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the brises we learned yesterday, and we're going to answer up the three questions that we asked. Meaning, according to Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon, they had three very strong questions against Rabbi Nechemia, and now we're going to answer all three questions. So, question number one, which we already know the answer to, but let's see it together in the Gemara. Hayu l'shoshem sheyisrafu. My shloshtam, d'tanya. So first of all, the Gemara tells us the karbanos. Now, I know we've gone over this many times, but here the Gemara is spelling it out. Ve'asir chatas darash darash Moshe, si'ir zu si'ir nachshon, chatas zu chatas shmini, and darash si'ir shorosh chodesh. So there were three carbon chatases that were offered that day, as we've gone over already a number of times. The Gemara finds an encryption in the Torah referencing all three of these karbanos. One is that of the Miluim, the other one is Nachshon, the other one is Rosh Chodesh. Yachu Shoshem Nisrafu. I might have thought that all three of them were burnt. Tamalomar Vihinei Soraf Echad Nisraf Lo Shlosham. Which one was burnt? The Torah says it's Balashin Yachid. Only one of them was burnt. So Nisrafu Dei. Velo Shoshem Nisrafu. Darash Darash Dej Rishos Lama. So why did Moshe do a double investigation? Amar lehu mimne ma chatazu nisrafa ve'elu munachos ve'eni yodeh ezek ve'eni yodeh ezeku shomer ve'osan asan lechem lases zavon eida ha've omer zusir shav rosh chodesh. So the double investigation has to do with the fact of the double standard, meaning that there was a double standard that took place. Aaron ate two of the karbanos, and he burnt one of the karbanos. So darash is basically what's with the double standard. Meaning, I'm trying to understand. You burnt it, so burn all three. You ate it, so eat all three. How is it that you ate two and you only burned one? That doesn't make any sense. That's the double language of Darash Darash. By the way, which one of them was burnt? It was the Rosh Chodesh one that was burnt. You see that in the Psukim, says the Gemara, because it says, Moshe said back to them, V'osanitan lachem lasesis avoneida. It was given to you to provide kapara. Which one of the karbanos was there to provide kapara? That of Rosh Chodesh. We learned together back in Masechta Shavuos. We said in the beginning of Shavuos that the seer of Rosh Chodesh is providing a kapara. If you read the Gemara in Shavuos, which we did not so long ago in the Daf, so the impression you get is it actually serves as a chatas to a Kodesh Baruch Hu for minimizing the size of the moon.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. Right, the Gemara also, right, that same Gemara over there addresses the fact that it also may come forward to be mechaper for Tumas Mikdash for Kadosh, if that's correct. Anyway, so the Seir of Rosh Chodesh was the one that was burnt. So, Shamper Kamerlei. Okay, so now, so once again, the Gemara says, great point. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are saying to Rabbi Nechemia, two of them were eaten, one of them was burnt. Why should that be? But again, we know the answer already. The Gemara here is going to articulate. Reb Nechemia Latamid Amar Kasheshalo Pasla Buhaninus. So this goes back to what we said yesterday, and we're repeating it again right now. In other words, categorically, there was a dispensation for an onin, Aaron, Elazar, Yisamar, to eat karban chatas on that g'day, but the dispensation, the heter, was only given towards Kasheshaa, not to Kasheshadoros. Let's continue.
Yeah, but why did they burn the chatas at night? They should have waited till the next morning
Oh, okay. I hear the question. Okay. Question, just let me just repeat. The question was, the burning of the carbon chata seemingly was done on that day, and meanwhile, the carbon itself was still qualified. It was they, the Kohanim, were disqualified. And generally speaking, we say that under those circumstances, you should wait until the carbon itself becomes disqualified. And the expression in the Gemara is Uber Tzirasan. And so maybe they should have burnt it the next day. Okay. Amar Mar. Hayolo la'achlo la'erev. So the next question in the Gemara is they should have eaten it that night. Meaning, this is now Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon saying to Rabbi Nechemya, okay, so fine. So they were noning. I get that. And they can't eat the carbon Rosh Chodesh, the Chatas Rosh Chodesh, because they were noning that day. That's fine. What about that night? Wait until the night. We know that Aninus is only for one day. Even though there is a rabbinic extension at night, but that's a rabbinic extension. And so why didn't they wait until the evening? So Shapi Kamrilei, and again, the Gemara says, it sounds like an excellent report, excellent retort by the Chachamim to Reb Nechemiah. What's Reb Nechemiah's response going to be? Kasavra, Aninus Lala Doraisa. So as far as Reb Nechemiah is concerned, that the extension of Aninus in tonight is a Dinda Araisa. Not the first time we've seen this. We already saw one Tana argue that position earlier. It was, I think, Rabbi Yehuda. I think Rabbi Yehuda earlier said that Aninus Laila is Daraisa. And now we could add to the list that there's another Tana who agrees with that as well.
So if that's the case, what does he do with the Korban Pesach then?
That's a different issue.
Well, because Korban Pesach was supposed to... If it's the Rabbanan, they could eat it. Because
right, but this is not... But we're not talking about Korban Pesach right now. We're just talking about the Korban...
What would he do with the...
Okay, that's... same thing Rabbi Yehuda. Same thing we saw with Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Dava Acher, V'alo Pinchas Haya Imahen. And now we're going to go to the third question that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon asked Rabbi Nechemiah, and that is, what about Pinchas? Now, Pinchas was a Kohen. Now, I know, we're going to challenge that in just a moment. But Pinchas was a Kohen. He was the son of Elazar. And on top of that, Pinchas was not a direct descendant to those who died. Meaning, those who died were Nadav and Aviu, and they were Pinchas's uncles. So as far as Aninus is concerned, Pinchas is not an Onin. And if he is not an Onin, which he's not, so then he could eat the carbon, right? So the Gemara says, Shapi Kamrile. And the Gemara says, that seems to be a really good point. And what's Rav Nechemiah going to say in response to that? Savala Karevalaza Dama Revalaza Rabbi Chanina Loni's kind Pinchas Ad Shahargu Lazimri. So the Gemara says that Pinchas was not a Kohen. So interesting. The Gemara is now saying that in terms of the installation of Kohanim, so the installation of Kohanim was only to Aaron and his sons and his biological four children, and that's it. Meaning any, even though Pinchas at the time was alive and well, but Pinchas was not installed as a Kohen, even though he was the son of Elazar. Now, what was the game plan before, in other words, before he killed Zimri? I'm not sure. I don't know. But by Pinchas taking action against Zimri, so then he was Niskahen. So he was installed as a Kohen. In fact, it really reads very well, very simply, within the Pesukim. You look at the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, so you're going to see that Pinchas was now installed as a Kohen as a result of his action, which means that prior to that point in time, he was not a Kohen, he was the son of a Kohen, but he was not, in fact, a Kohen. And so that means now that Pinchas obviously was not in a position where he can eat the karbanos, and that resolves the question. Now, over here, another shita amongst the Amoraim, in terms of when Pinchas was installed as a Kohen, and that was actually much later historically. Rav Ashi Amar Ad Shesam Shalom Bein HaShvatim. Pinchas, you know when he was installed as a Kohen? Only much later historically, at the end of Sefer Yehoshua. Only when he created peace amongst the Shvatim. Shenem Rav Yishma Pinchas HaKohen V'Nesi Ha'ida V'Rashay Alfa Yisro V'Chulei. So you look towards the end of Sefer Yehoshua. Sefer Yehoshua, 24 chapters. This is the 22nd chapter of Sefer Yehoshua. So you'll see over there that there was a rift amongst the Shvatim, and Pinchas created peace, and as a result of that, he was installed as the Kohen. Right? Vayishma Pinchas HaKohen. Right? The Gemara now is being medayik in the language, meaning then and only then he became a Kohen. Now, obviously, so in other words, this we already solved the problem, and this just provides another solution. It's just a question of when exactly Pinchas becomes the Kohen, installed as a Kohen. The obvious question which the Gemara now is going to deal with is, if you're learning it from the end of Sefer Yehoshua, how do you read the Pesukim in Pinchas? And conversely, if you're learning it from the Pesukim in Pinchas, how do you read the Pesukim in Sefer Yehoshua? And the Gemara goes through both. V'idach nami v'aksiv ha'isal ol'zara o'charav k'iksiv ha'hu bebrachu dechsiv. As far as if you are of the opinion, if you're like Rav Ashi who says that, the installation of Pinchas only takes place at the end of Sefer Yehoshua. How are you reading the Pesukim in Parshas Pinchas? The answer is bracha. Pinchas was given a bracha. In other words, very good, basically a big yeshar koach. Great job, Pinchas. You did great. And now I'm going to give you a bracha. Now, if you learn that Pinchas was installed as a Kohen in Parshas Pinchas, meaning after the incident with Zimri, so how do you read the Pesukim say for Yehoshua? The way you read the Pesukim in Yehoshua is that not only is Pinchas now going to be the Kohen, but his children afterwards are going to be Kohanim as well. It's really interesting. The impression you get in terms of the earliest generation of Kohanim, Aaron, his sons, Pinchas, and Pinchas' children, is that installation of Kohen was not automatically moved from one generation to the next. In other words, it was, you're going to be Kohen, but that's it. And then Pinchas, you're going to be a Kohen, and that's it. And then only afterwards is there then does it get jump-started, now it's going to go from father, son, etc., etc. So it's really interesting that the earliest generations of the Kohanim were not installed as Kohanim for future generations as well. It wasn't an assumption.
I'm sorry, it's also in the Parsha of Pinchas, he also created peace.
Right, correct.
So why are they using that over there? It doesn't make sense.
Okay, I hear your point. The Gemara is just simply being medayik in the language of the Pesukim in Yehoshua. Amar Rav Moshe Rabbeinu Kohen Gadol. Okay, we get to a discussion. This is not the first time we've seen this. We've seen versions of this discussion in the Gemara back in Tanis. The idea that Moshe himself also served as Kohen. And our Gemara over here, the language of our Gemara is that not only Moshe served as Kohen, he served as Kohen Gadol. Which in of itself is really interesting, aside from the fact that obviously it's a Chiddush, it's a novel idea. But it's really interesting because Aaron was a Kohen Gadol. Meaning that what the Gemara now is suggesting is that really you had two Kohen Gadols, which in of itself, that's not shocking. I mean, we had this idea before that you can have two Kohen Gadols.
That he could have eaten the Korban Chatat?
Yeah.
Moshe himself?
Yeah.
So the fact that he didn't eat, that means that he wasn't.
That's why the Gemara brings in the discussion over here. Amrav Moshe Rabbeinu Kohen Gadol v'cholek b'kashe shamayim haya, so he was, and he was dividing kashe shamayim, meaning that he was entitled to eat karbanos. In fact, if you go back just a little bit earlier in Shmini, Parsha Shmini, so you're going to see that the portions of a shlamim, which normally go to the Kohen, were given to Moshe, because Moshe served as Kohen Gadol. Now, it's not clear in the Gemara over here, when the Gemara says that Moshe served as Kohen, was the Gemara over here talking about just during the Meham Miluim, only during the inaugural days, or even beyond that point in time. So let's stay tuned, as the Gemara itself is going to discuss this very point. Meisvei. So the Gemara first attacks this notion of Rav that Moshe Rabbeinu served as a Kohen Gadol by the Gemara that we learned yesterday, meaning as far as who was eating the Karban Chatos. So we said Aaron could not; he was an Onen. Elazar and Isamar cannot because they were Onenim. What about Pinchas? So the answer was he wasn't a Kohen yet. Okay, great. But now we have another question that we should add to this. And by virtue of the fact that the Tanaim did not ask this question, which seems to indicate that Rav is not right. Why not simply suggest that Moshe was there? And if you're telling me that Moshe acted as a Kohen Gadol, and he was a Kohen Gadol, so then he should be able to eat the Karban. But by virtue of the fact that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are not asking that question to Rabbi Nechemiah, it seems like Rav is not correct. So Dilma Shani Moshe detarid b'shchina. So the Gemara says, no, we could still argue that Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of Kohen Gadol, and at the same time, we could also argue that he was not ready to eat the Karban Chatzos. Why? The answer is because if you looked at his schedule, and you looked at his calendar, you will see that he just simply did not have the time. Damar Amar Moshe behashkama Allah uvehashkama Yared. Moshe Rabbeinu was always with the Shechina. He went up early, he came back early. In other words, he was frequently with the Shechina. Really interesting. The Pesukim the Gemara here is quoting regarding the schedule that he had before Maimon Har Sinai.
Right.
And so over here, the Gemara is assuming that he operated with a similar schedule even beyond Maimon Har Sinai. Okay.
I hear.
So what was he doing at that? He never allowed them to burn the chatas. Is obviously he wasn't there.
Okay. Fair point. Okay.
What was he doing?
Is happening. I'm just reporting what the Gemara is saying. Meisvei. Lechem alokav mikashe yeshamayim min hakadosh miyochal. So the pasuk says that lechem alokav, they're talking about the menachos mikashe hakadashim umin hakadashim, both from kodesh kadashim and from kadashim yochal. So Rashi points over here that the pasuk over here in context is talking about the baal mum. A baal mum is allowed to eat karban. Now we've went over this point before, but the Gemara over here is bringing this in the context of Rav's statement. Rav says that Moshe was a Kohen Gadol. Now, sorry, a Baal Mum Kohen can eat all different types of karbanos, kachim kadashim and kachim kalam. Im nemru kachim kadashim lamu nemru kachim kalam. Vim nemru kachim kalam lamu nemru kachim kadashim. Obviously, the Torah, by having to clarify and state both that a Baal Mum Kohen can eat kachim kadashim and kachim kalam, there must be a reason why the Torah had to mention both. Why couldn't the one be deducted from the other? Answers a Gemara. Answers a Braisa. Ilo l'namar kachim kalam ayisi omar kachim kadashim huda ochel sharei huchul azar. V'lahen. As far as kachim kadashim is concerned, I know why, if the Torah only would have mentioned that a baal mum can eat it, because there are historically occasions when even non-Kohanim eat kachim kadashim. And we're talking obviously about Moshe. Moshe was a non-Kohen who was eating it. Now, kachim kadashim lo yochal. And therefore, I would have thought that kachim kadashim can be eaten by baal mum, but not kachim kalam. And conversely, let me just finish. The ilu lo nemru kachim kadashim ha'isi omer b'kachim kalam yehe ochel she'en kalim. B'kachim kadashim lo yehe ochel lekach nemru kachim kadashim. Ulekach nemru kachim kalam. Now, the reverse argument, that's easier. Meaning, if the Torah only would have told me that a baal mum could eat kachim kalam, yeah, they're light. It's light kedusha. So a baal mum, so in other words, he is obviously blemished. I mean that literally. So in other words, okay, so he can eat the lighter fare of karbanos. But in other words, kachim kadashim, he's not allowed to eat. So had the Torah only said kachim kalam, he wouldn't be allowed to eat kachim kadashim. Katani mia, what was clearly articulated in this braisa, is the notion that if the Torah only would have said kachim kadashim, I wouldn't have deduced kachim kalam. Why? Because we have historical precedents that a non-Kohen ate kachim kadashim. And who was that non-Kohen? Moshe. Okay, so once again, you read the braisa, the clear implication you get from the braisa is that Moshe was not a Kohen. So sharei, so the, I'm sorry, katani mia sharei huchol lahem lazar v'lahen. So lav Moshe. So aren't we referencing Moshe? So I'm Rav Sheshes lo bebama Lazar uchedivra amar yeshmincha bebama. So the Gemara says no, not necessarily. What the Braisa could be making reference to over here is the heter bamos. There was a period of time which we're going to be discussing later in the Masechta. I know I keep promising that, by the way, but it's coming. I promise. It says the heter bamos is coming up at the end of the Masechta, the tail end of the Masechta. So the there was a period of time historically where we didn't have a Mishkan Shila, we didn't have yet a Beis HaMikdash, and so there was a time where we were allowed to offer karbanos in our backyard. At this period of time, so you don't have to be a Kohen to eat these karbanos. Now, what was offered on the bamos? So everyone's in agreement that shlamim were offered on the bamos. What about chatas? No. Asham? No. So in other words, which kachay kadashim were offered on the bamos? So there is an opinion, which the Gemara says we're going to have to subscribe to over here in order to present this answer. There is an opinion that a mincha was offered on a bama. Now, a mincha is Kodesh Kadashim. So if you subscribe to that opinion, so there is now a precedent where a non-Kohen, because you don't need Kohanim for the bamos, a non-Kohen would be eating Kodesh Kadashim, and maybe that's what the Braisa meant. And if, in fact, that's what the Braisa meant, so then we are in a position where we could defend Rav. Okay.
But was Moshe considered baal mum because of a speech impediment and the fact that he burned his tongue?
Yeah, it seems not. It seems not. That's a good question, but it doesn't seem that way. Okay, Meisvei. Miriam Mihiskira. The Gemara now is going to challenge Rav once again based on the following braisa. So we know at the end of Parshas Baloscha, right, Perek Yud Beis. So the Torah tells us that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe to Aaron. And she was given tsaras. And as given tsaras, so someone now needs to look at the tsaras, render a decision that it was tsaras, put her in a quarantine in Hezger for 7 days. Should have been 14 days, but dayo. So for 7 days. And then Bnei Yisrael are going to move on. Now, who's going to do it? Who's going to look at the Tzaras and Paskin? So again, who are our candidates to look at it? So right now we only have three candidates. So it's either going to be Aaron, Elazar, Isamar. That's it. And the Gemara says, I'm sorry, the Brisa says, Miriam Yizkara, Im Tomer Moshe Yizkara, Moshe Zarhu. So what about Moshe? So the right away the Brisa rules him out. Why? Because he's not a Kohen. Already you see that this is difficult for Rav, because Rav says that Moshe was a Kohen. Which, by the way, goes back to the point that I raised at the beginning of this whole discussion. Meaning, when we're entertaining the idea that Moshe was a Kohen, so I suggested for a moment that maybe it was during the Miluim. From this Gemara over here, it seems very clear, meaning this is Baloscha. This is after the Miluim. So it was very clear that when the Gemara was entertaining this idea that Moshe is a Kohen, that's in the context of even after the Miluim. Okay, anyway. Moshe is Gira, Moshe Zaru. Moshe's not a Kohen. He can't look at the Tzaras. Vein Zaros and a guy. V'im Tom, we're on the top of Kuf Beis Amadal. V'im Tom, Aaron is Gira. What about Aaron? Aaron Karavu, V'im Karav Roas and Nagayim. Well, he's a relative. A relative cannot look at Tzaras. It's like paskening in a Beis Din, and you cannot have a relative do so. Ela Kavod, Gadol Chalak La'akar, Baruch Lemiriam, Ososha, Ani Kohen, V'ani Mazgira, Ani Choltav, V'ani Potra. The Brisa says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so by process of elimination, we ruled out Moshe. We ruled out Aaron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, it's going to be me. I'm going to serve as the Kohen. I'm going to determine that it is, in fact, a Tzaras. I'm going to be Masker. I'm going to quarantine her. I'm going to be Cholet. It's, in other words, I'm going to make a decisive position that it is, in fact, Tzaras. Vani Potra. And at the end, I'm going to release her. Sounds like you need a Kohen even on the release, which, okay, fine. So anyway, Katani Miyam Moshe Zar, Ve'in Zaros and Agayim. The Brisa could not say it any clearer that Moshe was a Zar, and as a result of that, he cannot look at it. So Amar Rav Nachman, Yitzchak Shani, Maros Negayim, Darun of Anav Ksumim Beparsha. We had a similar idea like this earlier in the Masechta. The Gemara says in defense of Rav. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen vis-a-vis Karbanos. Vis-a-vis Karbanos, he could do the Avodah, he can eat from the Karban. He was a Kohen vis-a-vis Karbanos. Maros Negayim, that has nothing to do with Avoda. That has to do with the fact that the Torah is just simply particular that I need Aaron or a descendant of Aaron to look at the Negayim. Not because it's Avoda per se. In fact, earlier the Masechta we said has nothing to do with that. It's just simply a byproduct, a function of I need Aaron and his sons. We had a similar idea? Paraduma. Right? The Gemara made the same point earlier about Paraduma. Paraduma, is that a carbon? Of course it's not a carbon. It's done outside of the Beis HaMikdash, right? The Gemara says repeatedly that it's Kache Bet HaKabayis. And meanwhile, who can shech the Paraduma? Only a Kohen. Meaning I need one, either Aaron or one of Aaron's descendants in order to shech the Paraduma. It's the same idea. It's not a Voda. The Ketorah is just simply particular by that I need a Kohen, meaning Aaron and one of his sons, and or one of his sons. Same thing over here by Maros Negayim. So in other words, we could still defend Rav. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen vis-a-vis Karban and Avoda, but vis-a-vis Maros Negayim, no, it doesn't work.
A nephew cannot look at the Negayim also? Because Elozer
Ritor, meaning in Halachas of Dayanos, a nephew is possible. Yeah, cousins are possible.
Even by Maros Negayim.
If they're operating with the same rules, then I would say yes. I'm not sure if I'm right, but yeah, okay. Meisvei.
So all animal relatives, so they cannot ever do to relatives?
No. We say relatives, we mean close relatives. In other words, I'm assuming, it's all Rabbi Zimran. I'm assuming we're operating with the same rules as Dayanus. So you have to be a close relative. Not like it's not one of the immediate relatives, but you have to be close. A nephew's close, cousin's close. Okay, the third parak of Sanhedrin discusses the nature of the relationship. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges based on the following. This is now what we're learning is Seder Olam. Seder Olam is fantastic. Seder Olam is the historical account from Brias Olam until Bayis Sheni. And it takes us historically from Tkufa to Tkufa. And so here now in Seder Olam, we are reporting, it was written by a Tana, I'm going on memory. I think it was Rav Yossi. Okay, I could be wrong. I'm just going on memory, but anyway. So Chamesh Shmachos Haisa Elishava Yisera Al Benos Yisrael. So on that occasion, on that day, on the installation of the Mishkan, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so Elishava had Chamesh Shmachos. She had five Simchos. So let's count them out. Number one, Yevam HaMelech, her brother-in-law, ends up being appointed as king. Her brother-in-law is Moshe. So Moshe now is installed as a king. Really interesting, by the way. In other words, he wasn't given status of the king earlier, meaning as a leader of the Jewish people, having taken them out of Mitzrayim. Okay. But anyway, Isha Kohen Gadol, her husband, Aaron, if you haven't figured that out. So her husband now is installed as Kohen Gadol. So Bina Sigan, her sons are now the deputy Kohen Gadol. Ben Bina Mashuch Mechama, her grandson, that's Pinchas, so he's Mashuch Mechama. The Acheha Nasi Shevet. So, and her brother is Nachshon, and he is now the head of the Shevet. So, she had a lot of installations of a lot of people closely related to her. A lot of smachos. Also, at the same day, Aveh L'Shoshnei Baneha. She lost two of her sons. So, right, it was such a emotionally packed day. Ketani Mia. Now again, as far as what we're concerned right now, from this Brisa, from Seder Olam, what are we interested in? The idea that Moshe was installed that day as Melech. Melech meaning, and of course not Kohen. So Ketani Mia Yavama Melech. Melech in Kohen Gadolo. Ema Af Melech. So again, the Gemara is simple deflection. A simple defense, and that would be Af Melech. Moshe was installed not only as a Kohen, but also as a king as well. Kitanai. The Gemara now notes that this is in fact subject to a machlokas Tanai, meaning as much as we have defended Rav over the course of almost the last Amud of Gemara, so the Gemara now is going to challenge, not challenge, but present two sides to this position in terms of whether or not Moshe was in fact a Kohen. V'yicharaf Hashem ba-Moshe, the Kadosh Baruch Hu got angry with Moshe, right? In other words, he kept tapping Moshe as, you're going to be the leader of the Jewish people, going to take him out of Mitzrayim, and Moshe kept deflecting and demurring. And saying, thank you, but no thank you. And eventually, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, enough. How many times do I need to ask? Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe, Rabbi Yoshua ben Karach Omer, kol charon af shebetorah nemar baroshem, v'zelo nemar baroshem. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Karach has the following rule, that whenever you see charon af, whenever you see Kadosh Baruch Hu get angry, kaviyachol, again, we're ascribing a human emotion to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but so that we can understand and that we can somehow relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we use a human description to describe it. Every time you see it in the Torah, so there is going to be a ramification. There's a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu getting angry, except here. The notable exception, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry with Moshe, but no, it doesn't leave any kind of lasting impact. And Kipshuto, I'm just giving simple pshat in the Gemara, it's very well understood. Meaning Moshe's not doing anything wrong over here, he's just simply being humble. Meaning, I don't view myself as being the leader. Okay. So, kol charon af shebetorah nemar baroshem, v'zeh lo nemar baroshem. Sorry, I read that already. Let's continue. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai omer af zeh nemar baroshem. And Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says no. In other words, this charon af was anger with a result. Shenemar. Halo Aaron achicha levi v'alo kohen hu. So, Aaron is your brother. Aaron is the kohen. Hachi kamar. Ani amarti osa kohen v'hu levi. Meaning the original plan is that you, Moshe, not only were you going to be the leader, but you were also going to be the Kohen. That was the original plan. But now because you kept saying no to me, so as a result of that, I'm taking the kuno away from you, and I'm now going to be giving it to your brother Aaron. Achshav hu kohen v'ata levi. He's going to be the Kohen, and you're just going to be a Levi. Okay. V'chachamim omrim, lo niskan Moshe, ela shivas yamei amaluim bevad. Now the chachamim are of the opinion. So far, what do we have in this brisa? Two opinions. The first opinion is that it didn't have any impact whatsoever. Second opinion is that Moshe was demoted from the position of kahuna. Clearly, in this brisa, we see that there are multiple opinions in terms of whether or not Moshe served as kohen. The chachamim omrim, the brisa over here brings in a third opinion, which is l'niskan Moshe ela shivas yamei amiluim bavad. That Moshe only served as kohen during the yamei hamiluim, which again I know I entertained earlier, which was Rav, but clearly Rav was of the opinion that Moshe was a Kohen even beyond the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim. V'yesh omrim lo paska kuna ala mizara shel Moshe. Now some are of the opinion that Moshe himself was a Kohen, and as far as when that came to an end, that's with the sons, meaning Moshe and only Moshe was a Kohen. Shenemro Moshe isha lukim banavi kuru al Shevet HaLevi. His sons are assigned status of Shevet HaLevi. V'omer Moshe v'aron b'chornav u'shmuel b'korei shemo. Moshe and Aaron are in their state of kahuna, and Shmuel was given a position as well. My va'omer. So the Bryce keeps following this point up with pasuk after pasuk, indicating that Moshe and only Moshe was a kohen and not his sons. But why do we need the additional pasuk? V'chitem l'darasu dichsiv va'omer Moshe v'Aaron b'chohenav. So I might have thought that it should continue for generations. That's why the Torah says that Moshe v'Aaron b'chohenav, meaning it stops at Moshe. V'chol chohenav shebator namar bo roshem v'haksiv. So now the Gemara wants to test the theory of Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. Earlier, Rav Yeshua ben Karcha taught us that any time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry in the Torah, it leaves a roshin, there's a lasting impression. There has to be a result. Vayetzei me'im paro b'chari af. So we have in the Torah where Moshe is excused from paro, and he left in anger, in disgust. V'lo amrle v'lo midi. And there was no conversation between them. So it sounds like that there was anger, but there was no ramification of the anger. Amar Reish Lakish Sitaro V'yatza. So the Gemara over here gives a really interesting explanation of that pasuk. No, it wasn't just anger. It was anger with a result. It did have a ramification, and that is Moshe slapped Paro in the face. Umi Amar Reish Lakish Achiv V'aksiv V'nisat L'karaso Al Sfas Hayor. How could you suggest that Moshe slapped Moshe slapped Paro in the face? Paro was evil, but he also was the king, and you got to show respect to the king. The pasuk says, "V'nitzavta likraso al sfas hayor v'amar Reish Lakish melechu v'hizbir lo panim." So when you greet him, you have to understand that he's the king, and you have to give him savor panim yafos. You have to present a certain countenance to the king. He is in fact the king. Rav Yochanan Amar, Rasha hu ve'ez panecha bo, and Rav Yochanan's of the opinion, no. In other words, you don't have to, just because a person is a king does not by definition mean that you have to show countenance to him. In other words, he's a Rasha, he's panecha bo. You can be mazed upon him. But in other words, but what we have over here is the opinion of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is of the opinion that anytime someone is a king, by definition, that means that you have to show a certain amount of kavod. And earlier, we said, what was the result in Moshe getting angry at Paro? Slap in the face. And who said that position? Reish Lakish. So what we have now is a steer within Reish Lakish. So the Gemara's answer is Epoch. So the Gemara says, flip around the Shitas. So in other words, we're going to have now within the Braisa that we just, not Braisa, but within the memory that we just learned, we're going to have Reish Lakish take the position that not every king deserves honor. In other words, if he's a good king, so then he deserves honor. And if he's a bad king, if he's an evil king, he deserves no honor. And we have, and that now is consistent with the position of Reish Lakish earlier that said that Moshe got fed up with Paro, and as a result, he slapped him in the face. The Torah says, Charonaf. What's the Charonaf over there? A slap in the face. Am Rabbi Yonah Lolam Tei Emes Machus Alecha Dichsiv. V'yardu Kol Avedecha Eila Eilai. So so you should have a reverence to the king. The pasuk says, again, we're going back to Parshas Bo. Ve'yardu kol avadecha elai elai. All your servants will come and greet me. Ve'ilu li didei lo kamar lein. Now, he didn't say that to him, meaning that he showed a certain extra level of respect to the king.
He really meant
right. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Me'achav Yad Hashem Ha'isa Al Aliyah V'Yishanei Masnav V'Yaretz Lefnei Achav. Another example where, despite the fact that the king is not necessarily deserving of honor, he's an evil king, but he's a king, and you got to give him honor. So another example that comes up much later historically, and that is by Achav. Achav was one of the Malchei Yisrael, the one that has probably the most notoriety of being an evil king. Eliyahu, despite the fact that, and by the way, Achav killed Nevi'im, but still, in other words, he was a king, and Eliyahu showed respect. He actually escorted Achav as Achav was going. Amar Ula Bikesh Moshe Machos V'lo Nitna Alom. Moshe asked for the Melucha and it was not given to him. Dichsiv Al Tikrav Halom V'in Halom El Machos. Once again, we turn to the beginning of Parsha Shmos, towards the beginning of Parsha Shmos, where Hashem says to Moshe, okay, that's enough, meaning no more. Now, kipshuta, what the Torah means is that stop right there, you don't come any closer. But the way the Gemara understands it is that you want more upon you, but no more. Shenemra mi anuchi Hashem Elokim ki aviyene ad alam. So Meisav Rav, Rabbi Shmuel Amar Yevam HaMelech. So the Gemara says, yeah, but remember the brisa we learned earlier this morning, right? Seder Olam, we quoted from Seder Olam, that Elisheva had chamesh smachos, she had five points of joy. One of them is that her brother-in-law becomes king. So the Gemara says, Amar Yevam HaMelech, Amar Rav lo ulazaro kamar. No, what Moshe was asking for Malucha for him and his descendants, meaning he wanted a monarchy that goes from generation to generation. What Akash Baruch Hu said is, no, it's going to stop with you. So what do we say regarding Shaul? Now we get the impression that the Navi is saying to Shaul that you're going to continue in your malucha, and meanwhile, but of course that's not the case. Only Shaul was a melech, but not his kids. So Ibai Zema Ha Have Ish Boshes. So the Gemara says, well, short-lived, but there was a passing of the baton of Malucha from Shaul to his son Ishbosheth. He was ruler for 2 years. Ibai Sema Shani Shaul Da'ape Begave Lokaim. I'm sorry, Da'afila Begave Lokaim. Kedrav Lazar, Amrav Chenin, B'shasha Poskim Medula, Adna Poskim Lo Lazar Atzav Koladaros, Shenemar Lo Yigara Mitzadik Einavis, Malachim Lekisei V'im Hegisa Ito Kars Baruch Hu Mashpilo. So the Gemara says, no, by Shaul was different because, yeah, in other words, the original plan is that Shaul was going to be the Melech and also his descendants were going to be the Melech as well. Now, how do you understand that in the context of Lo Yasser Shevet Yehuda? I don't know. But in other words, he wasn't from Shevet Yehuda. But in other words, what the Gemara now is arguing is that there was an original plan and that Shaul and his descendants were going to be the king, and it was Shaul himself who received the demotion. Shenemar V'im Asirim B'zikim Yelkadum B'chavlei Avoni. In other words, Shaul himself, because of his heges dato, because he was arrogant, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu demoted him and lowered him. Okay. Bali Mumen, Bein Bali Mumen V'chulei. Menahani Mili, Tana Rabbanan. All right, let's do a little bit more Gemara this morning. Let's get a little bit more caught up. The Brice over here is going to give the sources in the Torah that a Baal Mum is in fact allowed to eat karbanos. The Pasuk says, Kol zachol l'rabos Baal Mum im lamai. Ilach ilah harik var nemar lechem lokav mikach shekadash miyocha. Well, now we already have a Beferish Pasuk that says that Baal Mum are allowed to eat karbanos. So we don't need another Pasuk to teach us that. Ela l'chaluka. So not only are they allowed to eat karbanos, but in fact, if they're part of the Mishmar, they receive a distribution. Tanyidach, another brisa called Zachal Rabbos Balimom and Lama, Ila Chilare Kvar Amora, Ila Chaluka Re Kvar Amora, Shiochlain Liala Tam, Venase Bamum, Bamum I Karaminain. How do I know that if somebody is a Kohen is a physically blemished Kohen and that was congenital, he was born with the physical blemish, which prevented him from serving as a Kohen from the time that he was born, Tamalomer Kol Zachar. So the Kol Zachar is a ribui, an additional ribui to include even a Bamum who was a Bamum from birth. Tanya Idach, a third brisa. Kol zachal rabbos b'amum lama ila achila kvar amor. Vila chaluka arei kvar amor. Vila b'amum ikara arei kvar amor. Sheyachol ein li ela b'amum kavua. B'amum over mi nine tam lo mer kol zachar. So in this now additional brisa, and this additional point, we're saying that even if it's a physical blemish, which is temporary, so then even such a kohen can go ahead and eat carbon, and not only eat carbon, but get a distribution of carbon as well. Now the Gemara says, now that last point over there, what, that didn't make any sense. Even a temporary blemish kohen, meaning isn't the bigger chiddush a kohen with a permanent blemish, klap elaya. So I'm Rav Sheshet Sepuch. So Rav Sheshet says, you're right. You're absolutely right. You're gonna have to flip the brisa around, and that the biggest chiddush is that even though the kohen has a permanent blemish, he could still get a distribution of karbanos. Rav Ashi amar la'olam lo tepach v'yitzterech. Now Rav Ashi says, no, we don't need to do that. I might have thought we're now on the top of Kuv Beis Amud Beis. Ki Tameh. In fact, the best Havamina would have been that a temporary physical blemish is the one who is most disqualified. Because consider, it really is no different than a Tameh. Ma Tameh kama delo tar lo achel, afu nami kama delo misakin lo achel. Kamash Malan. It's like, I'm giving an analogy, it's like the idea of Dovah Sheishal Matirin. Meaning that when you have a coin with a temporary blemish, I might have thought like this. Look, he's in a position where it's going to pass. We know, we have a prognosis, that he's going to pass by this physical blemish. He'll heal from it. So I might have thought, look, it's just like somebody who's Tameh. Somebody who's Tameh, so we know that the tumah status is a temporary status. While he's Tameh, there's no way that he can eat a carbon, although I know there's sometimes he is allowed to, but while he's tamei, there's no way he's allowed to. There's no way he can eat a carbon. So with a physical blemish that's temporary, so one would have entertained, one would have thought that such a kohen during his temporary period of unfitness, he's not allowed to eat a carbon. So kamash malan, the chiddush is that even though it's a temporary position, and even though he's going to pass by this temporary blemish, still while he's a bamum. Even though it's eno kavua, he still is going to be able to eat the carbon and not only that, but receive a distribution as well.